Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Revelation 16 and 13 said, "And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." And then Revelation 19 and 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword." My subject for a little while today is simply three frogs and a sword. Three frogs and a sword. I read where in June of 2018, a man in Texas nearly died when he was bitten by the severed head of a 4-foot rattlesnake. Jennifer Sutcliffe told a Corpus Christi news station that her husband had been clearing their yard over Memorial Day weekend when he saw and decapitated the snake. When he picked up the dead rattlesnake to dispose of it, the head bit him and released an almost fatal amount of venom. He was flown to a hospital and treated with 26 doses of antivenom. Like that dead rattlesnake, our old self, our old crucified self, can attack us. That's why Paul declared in Romans 6, we know that our old self was crucified with Christ in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. C.S. Lewis once warned, "When poisons become fashionable, they do not cease to kill." My friend, I believe that this could partially refer in the last days to communism, because it appears in many ways through the last 100 years that it's been severed, but the head is still biting and the poison is still running through global society. According to the University of Cambridge, historically the most notable spread of atheism was achieved through the success of the 1917 Russian Revolution, which brought the Marxist-Leninists to power. In 2016, the International Business Times reported, a senior Chinese advisor on religious affairs has said the country should promote atheism throughout society, in remarks that appear to reflect a deepening campaign to reinforce traditional Marxist values in China, and could add to concern about official attitudes among believers in the country's five officially recognized religions. In 2014, the New American website indicated the Communist Party of China is letting its members know that the party's official adherence to militant atheism has not changed, and party members are not allowed to be Christians or to hold to any other religious beliefs. The spirit of atheism is also flowing through America, I believe, and it wants to rule our education. It wants to rule our economics. It wants to silence certain ecclesia, wants to empower voices that will stand against Christian values. And so this is what is depicted in Revelation 16 and 13, when the three unclean spirits like frogs that come out of the mouth of the dragon. Now, Leviticus 11 and 10 establishes frogs to be unclean. And so these are representing unclean spirits coming out of the mouth of the dragon. That's the devil, insubordination, original rebellion. So this is unclean pride. It's coming out of the mouth of the beast. This is blasphemy, new laws, anti-Semitic policies, unclean policies, if you will. And out of the mouth of the false prophet, because he has lying signs and wonders. He seduces the world with false worship. He will blend witchcraft and religious manuscripts. He actually is the main influence of the economy for the Antichrist. And so his role will be to have unclean provisions. So you got pride policies and provisions, and they are spirits of the devil's working miracles. So the thing that ties these three spirits together are their unclean performances. And they're going to go in to the kings of the earth, to the whole world. And I believe that phrase describes the globalism of the last days. And it will gather them to battle that great day of God Almighty. Jesus said, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And he gathered, and this kind of sounds like a congregation or the assembly of the rebellious. For all the complaints of going to church, some in this group will happily congregate for a satanic cause. And so it says he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the Megiddo part of this word means rendezvous. So you think of this as a rendezvous with judgment. So again, we have the mouth of the dragon, pride. You have the mouth of the beast, policies. And you have the mouth of the false prophet, unclean provisions. So we talk about the mouth of the dragon, and this is pride. We know that from scriptural research, Satan always wanted God's throne. He wanted to be equal with God in his throne. He wanted to ascend to the Almighty's heights. In fact, Isaiah 14 and 14, speaking in the first person voice of Lucifer, he said, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." You see, equality is the argument that devils use to hide their agendas. They hide in the well-meaning nature of those who simply want justice and opportunity. But you see, Satan stirs up the restless nature of anti-Christian rhetoric as the only means to achieve these things. Hence, Marxism slips in. Communism no longer uses the back door. Socialism has a bigger stage, and the appearance of fairness deceives many. That's why Proverbs 16 and 18 said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." That word haughty is elation. It means grandeur. It's arrogance. So arrogance, or an arrogant spirit, goes before a fall. Pride here has a plummeting outcome. My friend, without humble obedience to the word of God, society is going to fall. Without doing it according to the word of God and the lamp of truth to lead generations into every conflict and into every challenge of the future, educational systems will fall. Economic systems will fall, because that's the plummeting outcome of pride. Job 41:15, speaking of Leviathan, his scales are his pride shut up together as with a close seal. And of course, according to Bible knowledge commentary, this is referring to a crocodile. So pride here is a protective armor. So what is it keeping out? What is it holding at bay? Bible knowledge commentary states, God then reminded Job of the crocodile's anatomy. It is difficult to catch a crocodile because of its strength, as said in verse 12. The protective armor of its tough hide, verse 13. Jaws are the doors of his mouth that man cannot pry open by hand. Sharp teeth that terrify, and its back, rows of shields that weapons cannot penetrate. So again, what's it keeping out? In this sense of pride, it is keeping out humility. It is keeping out surrender to the truth. It is keeping out submission to the higher authority of the will of God. Psalm 10 and 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You see, pride here, according to Psalm 10 and 4, it avoids the truth. It has defiant expression. So pride here does not pursue honesty. So here you have pride that's going to take you to a plummeting outcome. You're going to fall. You have pride that has protective armor because it's got the scales like a crocodile. And then you have pride that does not pursue honesty. It turns away from the truth. If you don't have God in your thoughts, you won't have integrity. If you don't have God in your thoughts, you can't have honesty. Purity is lost where pride rules. Perfection is impossible where pride resides. And the spirit of the frog that leaps out of the mouth of the dragon is full of pride and dishonesty and lies. James 4 and 6 says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." That word resisteth, now listen to this, literally means to set an army in array against. So you have the host of heaven against you when you have pride. Angels from heaven will work against you when you have pride. Now think about Daniel when he was in a time of prayer and fasting, and when the prince of the Lord, the angel of God, finally showed up. He said, "I heard you 21 days ago, but the prince of Persia withstood me." That was a resisting. That was a conflict between the forces of truth and evil, of light and darkness. And so, friend, think about that. If you and I get pride, if we become so proud in our spirit that we're like this spirit that comes out of the mouth of the dragon, we got angels of God working against us, not for us. But friend, he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. There's that word, resist. So let's be in the armies against pride. And the Bible said, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So here, pride is the prohibited attitude. So again, we're talking about pride that has a plummeting outcome because it's going to fall. You're talking about pride that has the protective armor of a crocodile. You're talking about pride that does not pursue honesty because it goes after the wickedness of the world. And then in James 4 here, you're talking about pride that shows us the prohibited attitude. God is going to resist it. He is going to work against it. He is not just passively disagreeable with pride. He sends an army against it. And then we see the mouth of the beast. And these are unclean policies because there's blasphemy, demonic legislation, anti-Christian laws. More and more, the church is entering narrow passages of freedom. More legislation, as we know it, is being created to silence biblical values in this country. People are beginning to say that America is no longer a Christian nation. And so those of us that have these evangelical Christian Judeo values in America, that understand that moral boundaries are clearly defined and drawn by the scripture, the inerrant, infallible word of God, we've got to stand up against it and speak against it and pray back against it. And when you think about just some of the unclean policies that come out of the mouth of the beast, just think about Roe versus Wade, January 22nd, 1973, where abortion becomes the policy of legalized murder to babies. Think about the theory of evolution, which directly contradicts creationism of the Bible, and that began to be taught in public schools even in the 1960s. Think about marijuana, proven to prevent the brain from developing new memories, and now we have more and more states that are legalizing marijuana And it is a policy of sorcery, because the word sorcery comes from the Greek word pharma, that can be attached to pharmaceutical. Look at Daniel 8 and 23 through 25, where we're talking about now that which comes out of the mouth of the beast. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Now there is a twofold application here, one that's historical and one that is futuristic. Historically speaking, the king referred to here is Antiochus Epiphanes. After murdering his brother who had inherited the throne in the Seleucid dynasty, he came to power in 175 BC. In 170 BC, Ptolemy VI of Egypt sought to recover the territory then ruled over by Antiochus. So Antiochus invaded Egypt and defeated Ptolemy VI and proclaimed himself king in Egypt. This was his growth in Daniel 8 and 9, or the power to the south. On his return from this conquest, trouble broke out in Jerusalem, so he decided to subdue Jerusalem, or the beautiful land. The people were subjugated, the temple desecrated, and the temple treasury plundered. From this conquest, Antiochus returned to Egypt in 168, but he was forced by Rome to evacuate Egypt. So on his return, he determined to make the land of Israel a buffer state between himself and Egypt. He attacked and burned Jerusalem. He killed multitudes. The Jews were forbidden to follow the Mosaic law in observing the Sabbath or their annual feasts, their traditional sacrifices, the circumcision of their children. Altars to idols were set up in Jerusalem. And on December the 16th, 167 BC, the Jews were ordered to offer unclean sacrifices and to eat swine's flesh, or to be penalized by death. And so what we see here in this abomination of desolation is a prototype of the Antichrist to come. And there are certain things from Antiochus Epiphanes that can be learned about the forthcoming desecrator, the Antichrist himself. Number one, he subdues. He will achieve great power by subduing others, Daniel 8:24. Secondly, he secures. He will rise to power by promising false security, Daniel 8:25. Thirdly, he seduces. He will be intelligent and quite persuasive, according to Daniel 8:23. Number fourth, he will be subservient to the devil. He'll be controlled by another, and that's Satan. That's Daniel 8:24. Number five, he sabotages, because he'll turn out to be an adversary of Israel, and he will subjugate Israel to his authority, especially after he has promised security to them. Number six, he schemes, because he's going to rise up in opposition to the Prince of Princes, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I mean, how foolish is that going to be, according to Daniel 8:25? And then number seven, he is stopped. His rule will be terminated by divine judgment, according to Daniel 8:25. So it may be concluded that there is a dual reference in this striking prophecy. It reveals Israel's history under the Seleucids, and particularly under this desecrator Antiochus Epiphanes during the time of Greek domination. But it is also that prototype looking forward to that abomination of desolation that was mentioned by Jesus in Matthew 24, to whom Antiochus foreshadows the Antichrist to come. And so I haven't even got to the third mouth yet, but what comes out of the mouth of this trio of darkness is dubious to the mind. It's dangerous to the soul. It is destructive to the body. If you listen long enough to their speeches, you will feel yourself begin to question things that were concretely driven deep in your heart. If you taste the temptation of their offerings, you'll begin to believe that holiness tastes nasty and rivers of living water are too bitter to drink. So, my friend, you have to challenge these ancient spirits of pride and unclean policies, and you challenge them with a newborn experience. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. To steal the enemy is to silence his hateful, demeaning rhetoric. The spiritual application here is that when someone opens their mouth as a newborn babe in Christ, the new birth experience, it mutes hell. It's like every auditory nerve in the universe suddenly goes deaf. It's as if some ethereal sound producer at the controls causes these evil words to fade out. Huh? I can't hear you. I'm too busy singing. Huh? I can't hear you. I'm too busy quoting the word. Huh? I'm too busy. I can't hear you because I'm praying in the spirit. You see, your new birth experience has more power than demonic exaggerations that try to intimidate you. They will boast weapons of shame. They will target your vulnerable areas. But your new birth experience has more power than their demonic excavations, because there are things they're going to dig up from your past. Bones of bitterness, rotted flesh of failures, decomposed bodies of sin and regrets, skulls of old thoughts and the dirt of shame. But I come to tell you today that thirdly, your new birth experience has more power than their demonic exploitations. These are the disadvantages that the enemy thinks that you have, your weaknesses that he can key in on, failures of your past that he can try and capitalize on when you try to do something for God, say something for God. I mean, think about it. Goliath threatened Israel in 1 Samuel 17, and the Israelites were weakened by what they saw in Goliath. But then came David, and David was strengthened by what God saw in him. God's view of us is more powerful than our fearful view of the enemy. So regardless of the demonic exaggerations to intimidate, regardless of the demonic excavations of things that the devil would dig up from your past, regardless of the demonic exploitations that God would try to use in the present as disadvantages and weaknesses against you, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, out of the mouth of your new birth experience, out of the anointing of your calling and the rivers of the Spirit that flow out of you, my friend, you've got a power to overcome the enemy. Your declarations of God, your testimony that's worth telling, the power of the blood that you can plead against every foe. My friend, I know that the mouth of this beast is going to speak and he's going to subdue. But aren't you thankful today that you've already been subdued by the power and the love of God? He's going to promise a false security, but our true security comes in the name of the Lord. It is a strong and mighty tower that the righteous run into and are safe. He's going to seduce many with his intelligence and persuasiveness, but you and I, we know the truth that's been earnestly contended for. He's going to be a servant of Satan, but aren't you glad today that you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's going to sabotage every promise that's been made to the people of God, to the Jews. But aren't you glad today that your God is a promise keeper? And when he comes again, the Bible said all of Israel is going to be saved. Romans 11, 25. We know that he's going to scheme. He's going to understand dark sentences. He's going to speak with witchcraft and rebellion. But aren't you thankful today that through the blood of Jesus, you've got a power in the word that overcomes every kind of witchcraft and idolatry? And then he's going to be stopped, because one day the truth is going to have the final say and the word of God is going to be speaking to the final doom of this demonic domination and dominion. In Jesus' name, to be continued.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.